Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Welcome back. It's so nice to see all of you in one place. What a pleasure. So Nicodemus turns up just three places in the Bible. He turns up in three places in John's Gospel. And one is this discourse, this magnificent discourse, which teaches us so much about baptism and how God works, and that God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, the most wonderful verse to be put up at football games ever in the history of the world. The most wonderful verse for comfort and consolation. And he turns up then in chapter 7 in John's Gospel saying, "Hey, why are you condemning Jesus without hearing?" And then he shows up at the death of Jesus bringing spices for the burial, 75 pounds of spices. What a life that must have been for Nicodemus at that time. He came secretly. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was probably one of two votes that were abstentions in the crucifixion, the move to condemn Jesus. Johannes Kepler was a great Lutheran. He was the first astrophysicist, and he found out that planets move in ellipses. They don't circle in perfect circles. As a matter of fact, they speed up and slow down. So as planets are hurling through space, they speed up into the farthest distance away from the sun, slow down, and then gain speed again, slow down. That's what Nicodemus must have felt like this life revolving around Jesus was like, from crisis to crisis, from exhilaration to exhilaration. That must have been what many of you were feeling this past year. I know I certainly was feeling that way. What a crazy year. I think it was the craziest year I've ever experienced. And for you, loved ones, some of you lost loved ones. Many suffered all kinds of challenges. Some of you were sick, even unto death. Crazy year at the Synod. I mean, we went into the fall thinking, oh my, Board of Directors is worried, finances, we're going to have super challenges. And then all of a sudden the people of the Missouri Synod responded with overwhelming gifts, unlike I've seen in 20 years. What a year. And I'm sure you had a year. I remember early on when I was working from home, my wife showed me a joke on Facebook, two women talking. The first woman says, "Where's your husband?" The second one says, "He's in the backyard." She looks in the backyard and says, "I don't see him." The second one says, "You have to dig a little bit." And I remember distinctly after about a month into it, I thought, we can't survive this without divorce. What a year. You've had that year. Does God love you? As you're hurling through time and space, going through all kinds of different challenges and difficulties with your families and friends and your work and wondering if it's safe for you to come back or not come back, or wouldn't you rather work at home, or all those questions that have got us all aggravated to some certain extent or not. Does God love me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Luther was asked one time, don't you wish that would say, "For God so loved Martin Luther"? And Luther said, "No, because I'd be searching my whole life for another guy named Martin Luther." Is God going to work your angst, your difficulties, your challenges this past year for good? Well, I think you've already seen he has and does. But this is the same God who sent his Son, who told Nicodemus, "The Son of Man must be lifted up." Also translated, glorified on a cross. And if the cross is purposeful for you, for eternal life, crosses come into your life for a good purpose, for blessing, for causing us to repent, reducing us to nothing, causing us to look to Jesus, causing us to reevaluate our life, causing us to look forward to being hurled toward Jesus. I was in Rome a couple of years ago, and you know those steps, the Scala, Martin Luther, actually they were said to come from Jerusalem, although they don't show up in Rome until about the 14th century, and no trace of them before. And I thought, I'd like to crawl up those steps. Now, going right in there, it tells you it's good for indulgence, but I didn't qualify. And I just wanted to know what Luther felt like crawling up each of those steps. He said an Our Father for his parents every bit of the way to try to reduce their time in purgatory, allegedly. And I remember very clearly I was praying for Herb Miller at the time on each step. I thought that would be a good substitute. It was kind of funny because, you know, Luther experienced the same thing. There's a guy up there saying, "One prayer per step, please, one prayer per step." Some nuns were hogging the steps up toward the top. It was believed at the time that religious people, religious vocations were holier than common people's vocations. And that if you really wanted to get to heaven quicker, go be a priest or a monk or a nun. But common people, they just had the Ten Commandments to worry about. And those poor bludgers, what they did was not nearly as holy as the priests, the monks, and the nuns. The Reformation turned that all on its head. And it was a tremendous, tremendous turn in the church. The word for church in the New Testament is ecclesia. It means literally called out, those who are called out by Christ, out and away from sin and death and devil. But this does not mean that we are called away from real lives, or as Luther put it, that we should live in a corner. To be sure, Jesus from time to time retreated to rest for a while, says in Mark, with his apostles, but quickly returned to the fray, to his sacred vocation of accomplishing our salvation. Our souls find their rest in Christ. But this very spiritual peace and joy in Christ drives us back into life with both feet. If peace is joy at rest and happily meddling in the affairs of folks around us who need us, is joy in action. The high callings of God, the vocations that He regards as great and marvelous, are those in which we serve folks right under our nose. There is, according to Martin Luther, nothing more delightful and lovable on earth than one's neighbor. Love does not think about works. It finds joy in people. The gravitational pull of Christ draws us to Himself for grace and mercy and peace and joy, and then throws us out into the world. For the great majority of us, that doesn't mean being some kind of heroic missionary in Central Africa or who knows what. It means that we are driven, we are freely compelled. The love of Christ compels us, Paul says, to serve our spouse in love, to care for our children, to help our next door neighbor, to help the poor, the hurting, the suffering, to help those in our church, to love our grandparents, serve our community, and find joy, yes, in our work. And when we don't find joy, we still know work is God's blessing to us and to our families. No matter what our calling is, we are placed in a context to serve those right around us. Truly, I say to you, you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers. If you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me, Matthew 25. And that goes as much for changing diapers and changing copy machine cartridges, and it all, to pay the bills, it proceeds from faith, and it is pleasing to God. As the earth circles around the sun, it maintains its own gravitational pull. It pulls along the moon, 1,000 man-made satellites, a term first coined by Kepler, and an entire atmosphere. And so it is with Christ. He pulls us. For He's the one who said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. And it's the same Christ now, this year, at this point, who is still pulling us where He would have us be. He'll send us out to the end of the orbit, and He'll pull us back, and He'll bless us come what may. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.